Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 690 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is July 3rd, 2022, the day before we begin to celebrate England and their move out of the United States. My name is Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And joining me, two of the finest people that I personally would never have asked to move out of this country. We have spinning the decks as best he possibly can at the moment with wires, tin cups, maybe some duct tape. I think it's all strung together today. Robin Tate.
Hello, everybody. I'm here. Hiya, back. Nice to be on the show. Good evening. And every fucking year, DeLacy, every fucking year, you remind us about that stuff.
Well, you know, it's important stuff, Robin. And really, it's not the whole UK, I should point out. It's England, just England that, you know, we really at the time were, you know, helping move out of the country. So, you know, it's a time of celebration.
Just for the record, at that time in history, my ancestors were in Ireland. So, like, you cannot blame me in any way for that. I was also being repressed. It's fine.
And joining us, that voice, you may or may not recognize that voice because it's been a while. Richard Webster making his triumphant return.
Yeah.
With boxes for packing and all of the celebratory stuff. Richard, how are you?
I'm all right, you know. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm doing all right. I thought, like, I was here for episode one. I should be here for the final episode as well.
this, you never know. This might be.
Well, I think we might get banned after having me on. I've got a feeling.
Oh, well, you are a government man now. So, you know, I mean.
Yes, Deputy Prime Minister. That's me.
Yeah. Yep, indeed. All right, well, we'll dive into all of that shortly, but let's get some of the stuff out of the way that we normally get out of the way at the top of the show, which is, if you are new to this podcast, we are a video game podcast. We're more mature gamers, so we like to think of ourselves as having life experiences that are worthy of being shared. But if we're being brutally honest, we just like to hear our own voices. And so that's why we do this podcast every week, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, and 9 p.m. in the UK. And if you're wondering about the central time zone, who cares? Okay. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. So you can join us live, be part of the chat, have some fun. We also will create an audio version. So if you're dancing to the oldies, you're getting your groove on with maybe some, you know, stretch yoga, you can listen to us then as well. Real fast, you guys want to get your Twitter handles out there, Rich. I know, you know, you haven't been on in a while, so people may not be familiar with you. So what's your social media space? What's your dealio?
On Twitter, I am I am. I've changed it like four times. I can never pick and stick. Rich Mount Web. That's Mount like mountain.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. And then Robin Tate, just for those that need to know, it is Bongo the Sane, correct? Yep, yeah. At Bongo the Sane. All right, we do have a couple birthdays we should point out. And unlike previous times, I always get ridiculed for making everybody extra old. So today we're just going to, you know, straight at it. Everybody's 21 today. You know, and it's important because it's celebrating. I feel generous right now. We're celebrating, you know, our independence. So here we go. Mike Higgins, 21 on the 1st of July. So just passed. And then Roger D'Arcy, also 21, coming up on the 9th of July. So happy birthday to the two of you. And with that, you get a special birthday song. enough of that. All right. Okay. So birthdays aside, happy birthday to the two of you. Technically, they're actually 75, but, you know, I didn't want to say anything. All right. So we move on. Let's get into some, I think we should talk about some story time. I bet there's lots of things to talk about.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right. Rich, look, I'll be honest. You have not been on in almost like a millennia. So what's been going on with you, man? Let's hear about it. What has been going on since, I don't want to say, we're not going to date you back to the Couch Mercenaries, obviously, because that was where we met. But you've gone to university, you've graduated university. So talk to me. What's going on in your life? Married, kids, animals, pet parakeets? You're muted. You know this right now.
He's out of practice.
He's out of practice. It's all right.
So since I've been gone, that's a song.
I know.
I've bought a house, got married, graduated university, and finished my retro setup, which is behind me.
Ooh. Very nice.
I've been doing all sorts, mate. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I know. So let's start with the big thing. You got married.
Yeah.
I think it's worth kind of going, who did you get married to? Yeah. Keep it first name if you want to keep her privacy, that kind of thing. But, you know.
Yeah, me and Jill tied the knot. It was meant to be. She's downstairs right now playing on the Switch. So.
Ah, woman after your own heart there. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Exactly. She's getting the skills in Mario Kart. She's been practicing the drift speed boost thing where you drift and get like an extra speed. She's been doing that.
Do you guys get competitive with the couch co-op type stuff?
I can't really play Mario Kart because like I play to win when I'm playing like a racing game, and right. In Mario Kart you can go from like first to 12th pretty much straight away in an instant. And it's not a game I play for fun.
you take it seriously?
Yeah, so I can't really play it, which is a shame, but I like watching it. I like watching it. It's okay. Funny because on the online on Mario Kart, it's so Nintendo. Like the online chat is you just select like a speech bubble or something to say to all the people online with you, and it's just like, go easy on me, you know? That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's just
I'm guessing that's not the choice of words you would use normally.
No, the old days of like messaging people on Xbox Live saying like rude words, those are gone. You can't do that anymore. We got married, bought a house, got a dog, a few cats.
So I wasn't far off with the whole animal thing.
No, yeah. So we've got a few cats, got a dog. I graduated university. I did that over COVID.
Okay. Excellent. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. When you're only really trained to work in an office, and then the offices all close, and you don't fancy doing Amazon deliveries, your options are limited.
It does seem like everybody can get a job for Amazon deliveries these days.
Yeah. So yeah, I decided to go to university, and I got my degree.
Okay.
In software engineering. So I'm now a fully qualified scientist, Greg.
A fully qualified scientist, and you have the scientist look going. So, you know, and obviously, I think people that have been, you know, more recent followers of the podcast aren't going to know this, but I mean, so the mustache and the little goatee, you know, I don't want to call it quite a beard, but it's more of a kind of, what would you call that, Robin? Would you give that a goatee?
Fucking suspicious is what I would call it.
I don't want to say it, but you know, shifty. Yeah. So the shifty look, that is all new. When we met you, you were baby faced. You still are, for the record, yeah. But you know, you hide it now with this. It's almost pornographic with the mustache beard combo.
We'll see.
But then you have the scientist glasses going, and that's also something new. I don't recall seeing those. So you're kind of working, and your hair grown out.
Yeah, I've got longer hair now. Yeah,
it's like I almost don't recognize you. I'm just saying.
it's all changed since COVID. Like, so I now since COVID, like, I only shave like once every 6 months. So this is like 6 months stubble.
Nah. Yeah. That would probably be my year for me. COVID did change a lot. Obviously people letting their hair grow out longer, that kind of thing. I just stopped using deodorant. I figured why.
Save the environment and what, you know, why bother?
Why bother? Yeah. All right. So we're kind of caught up on Rich's life, but any TV shows, movies recently that you want to highlight, just maybe jump out at you being like, no, this is something good to talk about.
I enjoyed Obi-Wan. It's just finished up.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed that. It's a little bit weird because it was like they had two scripts. I'm not gonna spoil it, but it was like they had two stories and was like, we can't risk doing both. We have to join them together. But I enjoyed it. You know, it was good Star Wars. I thought little Leia was cool. She was really good.
Oh yeah, I think she's
fantastic.
An award or two, she'll be. Yeah. I think
It was like watching Carrie and Natalie Portman like mixed together. Watching her, she was really good. And
I thought the final episode was superb.
Oh yeah, the finale.
Yeah, I think that the show shines in terms of how it portrays Darth Vader. Because to be honest, I think previous Star Wars movies and series, you get a sense that Darth Vader is evil, but you never get a sense of just how evil and ruthless he is.
Yeah.
And in this series, that really comes forward, and you see kind of, you know, not the dawdling kind of, you know, because Darth Vader in a few of the movies in particular, when they were still trying to use the original actors, he didn't move exactly swift, right? But here, you're like, no, okay, it's believable. He can kick ass and take names, and also just is, there's a vicious side to him. So I really liked that. I will say, I think the direction of the episodes kind of has some hills and valleys to it, because the fifth episode in particular for me really had me concerned. I was like, oh man, this just feels like the more typical Star Wars. We don't want to show too much violence, but we want to show the fighting. So everybody's going to be point blank shooting blasters at one another, but nobody's going to hit anything. So I was concerned. And that's not giving any spoilers away, other than that they shoot blasters, which is not a spoiler in Star Wars.
And the stormtroopers always miss, which is also not a spoiler.
But episode six, as Robin pointed out, I think it really brought it back around and finished up nicely and really tied it into Star Wars canon pretty well. I was worried also, how are they going to pull this off? There's a lot they got to tie up into a nice bow, and they seem to do it. What are the over and unders? Which bet would you be taking in terms of a spinoff with one of the main Empire based characters? I don't want to spoil by giving away names or anything, but I'll just say who she is. What do you think the chances of a spinoff are for her?
I think it might be quite good. I thought she was really good. I know that there's been some criticism of the character a little bit. But I think, like I said at the start, I think that comes down to like the two stories and trying to mix them together. Right. I think a spin-off of those people, I think that might be really interesting because we haven't really explored that in like the live action. I think it might be quite good.
I thought she was pretty weak, and that's nothing to do with her ethnicity or anything like that there. I thought it was a pretty weak character. Hmm.
I think she played it really well, though. Like,
she did the best she could. What you had, but I didn't think it was she was the right person for the job.
I think at times they tried to make it, in a sense, kind of the story about her, but they didn't give enough backstory to her to really flesh her character out. So it's just kind of like, who is she? Why do I even care?
If they had to give us that information at the beginning, sort of who she was, that might have helped a bit, you know.
I think it could have. I also will just say this, in terms of her character, and then, you know, she's part of this group of other Empire villains, if you will. All of the other Empire villains looked very exotic, cool, sci-fi-y, and then she was just plain Jane. And that I did not understand, because it was just kind of like... Yeah.
Everybody else was cut up with scars, and she had managed to keep her complexion perfect all the way through all the badness. Anyway, I wasn't expecting to enjoy it as much as I did, and it was pretty good.
Yeah,
but for me, the star is the little Leia. Absolutely.
Yeah. Leia was really tremendous, and for such a young actress, I mean, she did a remarkably good job.
And I have to admit, I did have a lovely smile at the very last words of the last episode.
I got to think about what those were, but you'll have to.
He must have practiced that for a very... Sorry, there, give that away. He must have practiced that for a very, very long time, because... Okay, well, sorry, spoilers. You don't want to hear the spoilers? Go away. Just turn off for just 5 seconds. Sir Alec Guinness, his very first words in Star Wars, the very first episode, was, "Hello there." Mm. And the very last words was...
Hello there. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I thought that was very, very lovely. Oh, Lord. And, how you doing, fella?
And spoilers. There we go.
And spoilers.
Yes. All right. All right. So Obi-Wan, excellent. Anything else, Rich, that you wanted to kind of bring up in the outside of games side of things?
I have some questions, Richard.
Here we go.
You started a new job, which is cool, and it's in the field that you want to be in. Your new job requires you to come off social media and stuff like that there, which is really interesting. Do you think it's a threat? Like, is that a serious thing, do you think?
It's something that Jill mentioned to me. The place hasn't said anything about it yet, and I don't really know what their position is. But because of the job I'll be doing... being a massive bell end on Twitter is probably not a good look. So
would you have ever been a massive bell end on Twitter?
Well, I don't mean being like a troll. I just mean being very, very blunt with some opinions,
right,
about stuff. So I'm gonna I went private the other day, and I was going through deleting some stuff that I thought like I wouldn't want on LinkedIn. Let's just say that
I wouldn't want
it on LinkedIn. But it's a lot. I have to be honest, it's quite a lot. So so what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to delete all my tweets.
Wow.
And start fresh. The only thing you'll I don't want to go into too much details, but the only thing you'll hit not really see me doing is talking about the people down Westminster way.
You need an alter ego now. You need a separate identity. To be able to
don't get blue checked. That's the one thing.
Yeah. So yeah, but basically, I just want to sort of clean it up a bit. But it's not, like I said, it's not even something that we've been told or I've been told. It's just something that Jill mentioned because of the work I'll be doing. It might be better safe than sorry type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, when you are a double agent spy for the government, you do have to keep a lower profile. So I fully understand.
You do. Yeah. And like I said, when I'm going to be deputy PM, they can't be digging up all this dirt. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be squeaky clean. Just games. Games and movies.
We'll keep that in mind if we need some favors, mate. Yeah.
So, Rich, about those tweets.
Yeah.
So you used to do a ton of like Skyrim mods. Mm. Is that still something you're doing, or have you put that aside now because like work has taken front and center?
Both. I put it aside because I was super busy. But I am working on a new one, and now that I've got a job sorted and I've finished my studies, I have the time to work on it again. So I'll be working on it again for Skyrim mods for an 11-year-old game.
It amazes me how much support that game still has from the community.
There's new mods every day, and if I just give you a little hint, if I go to one of my mods here, I'll go to the one that was released for original Skyrim, not special edition. In fact, I'll read you both. So original Skyrim, it's had 1.7 million views
This was the breast expanding mod, I believe you did.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So 1.7 million views, 400,000 downloads, and then for special edition, 360,000 views and 100,000 downloads. So,
TikTok account.
And to be honest with you, like, it was modding Skyrim that got me in, that made me want to decide, made me decide to be a software engineer. That's what it was.
Isn't that class?
Yeah.
I love it.
I've always liked computer stuff and, you know, nerdy things, but it was doing that and I was coding and doing projects and seeing it in, like, in action. And I was like, do you know what? I want to do this as a fucking job.
Real engineers are insulted, you know, by the term that software engineers use, the term engineers, when they don't get their hands dirty, or they don't know how to hold a spanner?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I mean, I know in Canada, you're not allowed to use the word engineer in your job title unless you've got an engineering degree. So, like, for example, like, you can't be like a drainage engineer if you clean drains and, you know, unblock drains and manholes, because you're not an engineer unless you've got an engineering degree. Mine would count.
My dream of janitorial engineer is down the drain.
Yeah. But it might be, you know, like how probably some software engineers who've got a degree in software engineering probably get a bit miffed when people call themselves software engineers when they didn't get a degree in software engineering. I'd reckon that's probably the case.
Unless you're really good at it, and it doesn't really matter then, does it?
No.
Well, yeah, like one of the people I look up to a lot is a fella called Grady Booch, and he's on Twitter. Follow him. He's very anti Bitcoin. He's very skeptical, very skeptical of cryptocurrency. He's
right at the moment.
He was like, he worked at Xerox back in the heyday, like in the 70s. Now, for people that don't know, like, Xerox, they make the photocopier,
right?
But their scientists, or, you know, their engineers, they developed all kinds of stuff. They predicted the iPad. Loads of technologies was built at Xerox. And he just decided to start calling himself chief scientist one day at Xerox. And he just, that's just what it was. He's a very smart guy, like, but yeah, he just picked the title and then decided he was going to be chief scientist.
This is some of the best titles.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Cool. Yeah.
My work actually at one point asked me what I wanted for my job title. And I was just like, it seems just so arbitrary. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know my job description. So, but yeah. So
number two.
I did not want to be number two.
Yeah.
I wanted to be three or one, never number two.
Never number two.
No.
No. I wouldn't want to be one. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Yeah. I just want to sit in the back, throw tomatoes.
Yeah. You never want to be, because, you know, when you're at one or two, your head's on the chopping block.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
But at least with one, you get the money for being one, I guess.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather be the guy that pushes him into the, anyway. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Rich, anything else you wanted to chat about before we move on to Robin?
I did see a good movie recently, but I can't remember what it was. So I'll talk about it another time.
Cool.
Now you gotta follow that up, Robin. Have you seen a movie that you don't remember?
Yes, very good one this week. It was fantastic, but I don't remember what it was. So last week, thank you for last week, because we were all a bit crazy last week. It was June 50th over the weekend. We had a lot of people here. We were out for dinner. We went to the spa one night and all that sort of stuff. So my brother was over from London. We had a lovely weekend. So look, thanks for doing the stuff there last week. I'd mentioned on WhatsApp about my niece. So my niece is out in Camp America at the moment, and Amy, she's a great girl, and she went out there now 2 weeks ago, and she still doesn't have her luggage. So her luggage, she flew out with Delta.
Oh my gosh.
The luggage, not so bad. Okay, clothes can all be replaced, but there was specific medication in her luggage for that she required, and that's the big problem. So it disappeared, and then we heard it that was in Boston, and it got to Boston, and then it disappeared again. And then my brother-in-law and sister-in-law put out feelers to everybody, just like I had. And a friend of theirs was coming in an American flight through the Dublin airport a few days after that, and Amy's case was on the carousel.
No way.
Yeah. So Philip, at 4 o'clock in the evening one night, drove to Dublin Airport, which is 120, 130 miles.
Right.
And arrived there, and nobody was at the Delta desk. And the next morning, read the Riot Act, and they got the case, and they put it back on to go.
And, oh, God.
They got a report back that it was with a courier in Maine, and it had arrived at the Camp America thing that she was at.
Right.
But it didn't have the correct label on it, and it was returned back to the airport in Boston.
You've got to be kidding me.
And then it all disappeared again. And a day or two later, they found out that it was still in Dublin.
It never left.
Never went. And all that was all made up by Delta and Swissair and all of this stuff.
One, that's partly your fault for flying Swissair.
Swissair handled the luggage.
Exactly.
They handle
never the trust luggage.
Yeah.
The Swiss.
In a lot just of the saying. Airports in the UK, it's a company called Swissair that handles all the luggage and stuff. So he went down to Dublin today again to collect the case, to bring it home, to get it onto a DHL carrier tomorrow to send it out. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Just poor girl. Nutty. It's just nutty.
That is insane. Was she able to get some medication to hold her over?
They got some stuff, but she has like a skin thing that's very specific. And anyway, and they lend her some clothes and Camp America t-shirts. Now that part's probably good, you know, because she's quite shy. So that'll, you know, that's a bit,
helps
you know,
break her out, right?
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's a crazy. I've never heard anything like that before. I was involved in a vicious stabbing last week. I barely survived. It is thankfully recovered now, but I had a puncture wound just about here above of my left-hand side of my mouth. And I was stabbed by a very, very pointy object, and I was lucky to get away with my life. I really was. It was
I would like more details, please.
It was terrible. It struck up on me.
These are not the details, Robin.
I didn't expect it to happen, and I was absolutely amazed. And I could see the person in front of me, right in front of me, that did this thing. So do you know an electric toothbrush? So I'm standing in the bathroom in front of the mirror looking at me and brushing my teeth, like as you do, back and forth, back and forth. And for some reason or another, the head of the electric toothbrush came off.
Oh, shit.
As I'm making the wiping movement, and I went bonk, and I whacked myself and pierced my top. I guess I'm lucky to be alive.
Imagine that on your headstone.
Yeah, no shit. There's a couple things here, Robin. There's a couple things that need to be discussed. So, one, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
I am. I'm glad that you have recovered. But where to start? Do we start with the exaggerated motion that Robin uses for teeth brushing? Because that seems like that's born out of something else, Robin. I'm just saying.
I'm very good also, at that.
But electric toothbrushes, you're not supposed to be that vigorous with it. Small, gentle movements.
Not small and gentle about anything, Mr.
Apparently not.
From emptying the dishwasher to everything, they laugh about how rough I am with them. I am so, just getting the bull rumpy.
So now this lends me to the next question, which is, what happened to the head of the toothbrush? Was it still in your mouth? Were you clenching down or something?
Uh-huh,
Robin, never clench down.
Well, sometimes you have to brace yourself up. Anyway, I survived that. Thank goodness. Okay, so last, I think it was it Saturday morning?
Yes.
I do happen to go on to Facebook Marketplace now and again. I think it was maybe Friday or morning or before. Anyway, and I had spotted a new racing wheel, a Thrustmaster racing wheel, which is belt drive, really, really good one. I have the Logitech, which is the entry level. About the entry level with pedals, wheel, knobs, it's about 250 quid's worth. So 270, somewhere like that, completely new. And I spotted this thing and it had a Ferrari edition, which is one of these boyos, a Ferrari racing wheel stuck onto it, which is not what comes with the base. Okay, right. So I quickly looked up the price of one of these little boyos here. It was about 150 quid, about nearly $200, I suppose. Or, well, at the moment, it's $150. and the base itself was about 240, 250 bucks.
Okay.
So they had this on Facebook Marketplace at £80. It had just appeared, and wow. I got in contact straight away and said, it's available, collect this morning. So in the car I went, and these people were clearing a house.
Oh, nice.
Don't think they knew what they want. So when I got there, they didn't have the power cable for it. So I took a bit of a punt.
And you're like, that's fine.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you 60 quid for it, because I'm taking a bit of a punt here. So I bought the whole setup for 60 quid. I went onto the Thrustmaster website. It was 20-odd pounds for a cable, but they were 3 weeks for delivery. Right. I went onto eBay and got one for 30 quid. Which arrived in a few days, and the thing works. It works. It works. And the Logitech wheel, you get movement, and it's fine. But this thing here is next level. It's like you really, it's belt drive instead of cog drive. It's like 100% better feeling when you're driving. So I feel like, wow, like I've become very, very lucky there.
Absolutely.
I don't know if we should be talking about this now or not. Anyway, so I've been driving a lot, and we'll get to that as well.
Right.
One of the problems with the driving is headphones in the Xbox. There is no connector in the Logitech or Thrustmaster. I don't know if the even more expensive ones have that. So you still have to plug your headphones into your headset, as well as the wheel. So you've got the wheel driving there, but you have a separate controller for if you want to have to chat on that as well. And the problem with the Xbox controller is it goes to sleep after about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, there's lots of theories, plug a power cable in and all that, but still kind of happened. So I reached out to the almighty Greg DeLacy and said, Greg, what do I do here? Because I was playing the other night, and when was that? Was that Friday night or Thursday night?
It was Wednesday. Wednesday we were...
So I was trying to
Wednesday. Might have been Tuesday.
Connect through the phone and do all bits and pieces. Yeah. But Greg said, "Do you know what you need to get, Robin? You need to get yourself a set of Lucid Sound LS50X headphones, which are Bluetooth and fabulous." So I got, as you can see from the box, I got a set, and I gotta say, these things are sweet, Greg DeLacy. They do fabulous on the ear. So cool that you can take a telephone call with them and have your Xbox, or you could be on Discord and on Xbox and have it all through. Very, very nice. I actually haven't tried them on the Xbox yet after the show I'll give them a whiz. But I love it that you can remove the headset very easily and use them as a standard set of headphones with your phone. Really cool. So I went onto Amazon because it's a week of bargains. They were 280 quid, reduced to 189.
Ah, okay.
And then I went, there was another button there called Other Suppliers. And selling by Amazon Warehouse was a returned set, allegedly, or damaged box. And I thought, I'll take a punt. There were 70 quid. I'll take a punt.
Oh, shit.
£70.
Wow.
So when it arrived, the box was completely sealed. And there was that. Huh? That is the only thing. The box was still had its seal tape on it, and that was the only thing wrong with them. And I thought,
holy smokes, that is a deal. That is a deal. So, holy shit.
Wow. So I'm very, very pleased with those. They're a lovely carrying case for holidays and stuff like that as well. So, I great stuff, Greg. I can't wait to use them properly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's interesting. So, I wasn't sure what the differences were, between your headset, because I had the LS35X. Mm-hmm. And so that had obviously come out a couple of years ago. But I was like, you know what? It connects directly to the Xbox. So my headset, ironically, I don't have a dongle.
Okay.
It just connects up to the Xbox. But yours has a dongle, which some may think is a negative, but the reality is you could take that and plug it into your PC or your Xbox, wherever, and use those headsets, whereas mine will only link up to my Xbox.
It's weird because I thought the Xbox Series X had Bluetooth in it already for other stuff.
It has Bluetooth for, I believe it's for the wireless controllers, but I'm not sure how the Bluetooth works on the Xbox. Okay, so.
Maybe it's proprietary or something out there. Maybe the professor could tell us.
Yeah, but all I knew is that the dongle was part of it. The Bluetooth accessibility also on the headset is a lot more flexible. Like, you can take calls and be on the Xbox at the same time, whereas with my headset, I can only do one or the other. So I can use it as just a Bluetooth headset, but it won't be connected up to the Xbox at the same time.
It's groovy. I mean, yes, there's different things that you can mute by touching, answer a call. But the volume controls and the game mixing are actually on the sides of the phone.
It's a dial, lovely.
And it feels on both. So the other side is the game chat mix or your call. I suppose if you take a telephone call, you can turn down whatever game you're playing then, so your call doesn't hear it or whatever. But they're really well built. I had a set of Bose headphones years ago, and they're there, that sort of film quality.
Well, good.
So for £70, that can't be bad, can it?
No, that's a phenomenal deal. For £70, that is an amazing deal. So good on you for doing that.
Mm.
And it just kind of goes back to show sometimes it's worth taking a chance on those, returned, refurbished quote unquote items.
I haven't done it before.
Especially when you have that big price.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Anything else, sir?
I've got a photograph of young Bongo the Sane on the feed at the moment as well. So
I've seen that.
Yeah, I'm about 25 years old there in my little business at the time. What a guy!
Nice.
What a guy! Lovely, young Robin. Anyway, that's a long time ago now. No, I'm fine. Busy, work life, all that sort of stuff, and yeah. Oh, Charlie started his apprenticeship last Monday. As an electrician, Tuesday. Cool. Tuesday was his first day. So he's had four full days. He's off to Dublin. I have to drop him out at the electrician that he's working with. Doesn't live that far away. So he has to be there for 6:15 tomorrow morning because they're heading to Dublin.
Okay.
I got to say, I've never seen Charlie go to bed so early after. So he got the first day, the second day, and then all of a sudden he was, I generally go to bed about midnight and... the light has been off in his room. That's never happened before. But on Friday night, he starts his apprenticeship officially in September. But the guy said, look, come on in, see how it goes. Let's see if we can get on. He's got on very, very well. But the guy, the electrician, owns the company, handed him £80 on Friday night. And, Charlie gets, 10 or 15 quid a week pocket money or something. But
yeah.
when he walked in on Friday night, I've never had as much cash in my hand. Yeah. I'm going to my girlfriend's house tonight. I'll maybe go to the Chinese and buy a Chinese. And he was the chest was out. So great. I'm so glad for him that it's working out really well. So
cool. And you get your first wages. Wow.
Yeah, so he'll never be out of, if it goes well in a few years' time, he'll hopefully never be out of work as an electrician. So.
Yeah, well, my dad always said you should get a trade. My dad always said, get a trade.
He is sharp enough to go to college and uni and all that there as well. But I actually think this is a good move for him too. It's a good move.
Yeah, he can call himself an electrical engineer.
Yeah, he could be. Good too. Yeah. Cool. What about you, Greg?
So a busy past couple of weeks as well. The whole reason why we recorded last Thursday was as you noted, the weekend was just shot. Everybody was kind of doing stuff and nobody was going to be around. So I was down in the Bay Area in San Jose for my brother-in-law's birthday. So we celebrated that, had a great dinner down there at a restaurant called Luna's, which is a kind of a hip Mexican restaurant. Kind of reminded me a little bit of what we did in the UK when I came out. Mm. And then from there, this past week, literally we are prepping for tomorrow. So we're having a big old barbecue blowout. So my other brother-in-law, his kids are coming up. A good friend of ours, the family's coming over as well. And we're just going to do up a big barbecue, couple tri-tips on the grill, some corn on the cob. We're going to have good barbecued country style beans. we're gonna have garlic bread. We'll have buffalo wings. We've got what else have we got going on? Lemon blueberry bars. Just a ton of different stuff.
And what else is everybody else having? That's yours. What
yeah, that's all for me. It is. And we're also going to be doing up a big vat of Lynchburg lemonade. If you're not familiar with that, it's basically Jack Daniel's whiskey, lemonade or lemon juice. You want lemonade for the most part, and then Sprite. And you just mix them together. It makes for a great summertime drink. Just saying.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
And then we'll be watching fireworks tomorrow night. So our city still is one of the kind of the holdout cities that does a big fireworks display. And good. So we drive right up and we sit on the field. They launch them up probably about 500 feet or so away from where we sit. And the fireworks are just going off right overhead.
So, I love American
It's a good time.
Love it. I love that you are proud of your country. And you should be because it's a fantastic country.
You kind of would hope everybody is proud of the country that they live in. Obviously, there's going to be some exceptions out in the world, but I think we both could be proud of the countries we're in, and I think you guys made a smart choice to move back home. You know, kind of like millennials, you were out there trying to make a go of it over here. You decided it wasn't working out, so you just moved back home to mom and dad.
It's a longer project for us, Greg. We've pretty much taken over the country now, so you don't actually realize.
It's true. No, I do. I do. I see it. I see it all the time. All right, we talked about Obi-Wan. The Boys, if you are not seeing this on Amazon Prime.
Boys, wow.
It is it's a great second season. I guess it's season three, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Where am I up to? I think I've watched the orgasm one.
There's yeah, it's just insane. And this last episode,
what the fuck are you watching? No, she didn't say that. She said, what are you watching?
Oh yeah, I do not watch this with the family at all. This is not family time viewing. I will just say they've taken it to another level of just twists and turns with this last episode. I won't spoil anything, but I was just like, I got done with it. I was like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. So there we go. The Boys, if you're not watching it, you want a different spin on superheroes. This is the series to watch.
Yeah.
And then just a couple last stories to talk about. So I traveled with my Steam Deck when I went down to the Bay Area. It kind of became that was the use case scenario for me that I really wanted to see, does it make it worthwhile to me? And I can just report back in spades. Yes. I was loving it. So I played some games when I was sitting in the hotel room for a little bit, when the family kind of started to nod off. The big win was on the drive back. You know, Cindy, she loves driving. She's just like, you know what? I hate being a passenger. I was like, you know what? Go ahead, drive. And I just sat and I played 2K golf on my Steam Deck the entire trip back. It flew by in a nanosecond and it worked flawlessly. The battery life held up just fine. And so I was thoroughly happy with my Steam Deck.
Still haven't let my email through.
We have some news about that soon, so maybe that will change for you, Robin. Mm-hmm. And then last story. When I was talking to my brother-in-law, he was asking me about my drone, and I was like, you know, I have not broken out and used my drone in literally over a year. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I need to break it out, get some time with it, and just, you know, kind of re-fall in love with it. And I did, charging up the batteries, discovered one of my batteries was completely dead, wasn't recharging. So I had two batteries and then, you know, a dead battery. So I've rectified that and I'm getting a couple of new batteries. The problem was I had to source it. My drone is actually considerably old now in drone years.
Yeah, yeah.
And so DJI is not, they're not really supporting my drone anymore, which was like, great. Goodness. Okay. But I was able to find some refurbished batteries off their site, got those ordered. So I'm like, okay, well, I have my two main batteries. I'll have two backups. But importantly, flying the drone. getting reacquainted with it, having some fun, took it out, flying it down the street, going by my neighbor's house, buzzing their house, that kind of thing. Just having some good fun with it. And so one of the features with a drone is there's a return home feature.
Yeah.
So it will. Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's totally cool. It basically will cut right back to where it launched from.
People get very puzzled at it because you go and you just walk away.
and so it's a great feature. And the drone will automatically do that once it falls below 10% battery. I kind of forgot about that little feature on my drone because I got the drone back and I was flying it back and my wife opens up the door and is like, where's the drone? And I was like, oh, it's coming back. And she's like, and she like closed the door back over. And so me being, I think I'm being funny. I ring the doorbell and I have the drone just hovering right in front of the door. And she opens up the door and I'm, again, I think I'm having a bit of a laugh. I fly the drone into the house. And of course, Cindy's like, should you be doing that? And as soon as she said that, I hear the battery warning going off.
Oh, and it goes up to 100 feet or something automatically.
Shit. The drone suddenly tries to return home inside my house, and it freaking hits the wall and starts trying to climb up the wall. I took a chunk out of one of our doors, which I'm on the hook for repairing. and I just am like, I'm a horse's ass for trying that. lesson learned. But yeah, so don't fly your drone inside the house. That's the best thing I could tell you. But outside of that, though, I had a lot of fun with the drone. So
I must get mine. You actually put me in the mood. I must get mine back out again.
Yeah, don't fly it in the house, Robin.
No, I do love the little ones now, and a lot of the stuff. So some of the fly throughs internally, the little small drones. Yeah. I suppose the VR headset guys are just phenomenal. Some of the promotional video stuff I've done or seen. A lot of insight. This is terrifying.
You probably could hook it up to your Quest.
Oh, God, no.
No,
I'm all right. Okay, cool.
Rich, have you ever gotten into any drones or RC cars for that fact?
Not for many, many years. Drones are pretty cool, though.
You've grown up. That's what you're trying to tell me.
Well, kind of. I mean, I've got a PlayStation running behind me. Grown up in some ways, not so much in others.
That's all right. Well, that does it for the story time. Let's talk about some video games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, Rich, since you are our honorary guest, you haven't been on in quite a while. I think it's only right that if you look in the notes, we have all the games for gold, the PlayStation Plus games, the Amazon Prime games. These are all the games, of course, that we can get for free because we paid for them. But if you wouldn't mind, maybe kind of go through the list since we are at the start of the month, I think that would be fantastic. And maybe if you feel like it and you're really up for it, do your best Kim Woods impression.
Kim Woods. Do you know what? I'm not going to attempt it because
I don't blame you.
She might be offended. Howdy, partner. I don't know.
That was close. I think that was pretty close. She does say howdy an awful lot.
I thought Kim was in the room.
I know.
So games with gold. So that's when you have an Xbox Live Gold account. And you get some free games every month. We've got Project Hi-Rise Architects Edition. That's available from June 16th to July 15th, so that's still going on from last month. Beasts of Maravilla Island, that's new for July, so that's throughout this month. We've got Relicta, which is mid-July till mid-August. Thrillville Off the Rails, I've played that. I think it's actually all right. It's like a roller coaster tycoon thing. So that's the beginning of this month, 1st of July until the 15th. And Torchlight, which is a decent game. That's July 16th until July 32. Although I don't think there's 32 days in July.
No, probably not. It's probably the 31st. Some fool probably made a typo. Not going to name his name, Greg.
Probably. PlayStation Plus, if you're over on Sony's slick black machine. It's actually white, but it's black on the inside when you take the sides off. We've got PlayStation Plus, Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time. Now, that is a hard game. I don't know if you've played it. 4K 60 on Series X. It's very hard. It's not like the old ones. It's like the old ones, but it's very difficult. So if you like difficult 3D platformers, that's a good one. The Dark Pictures, Man of Medan.
That's a little horror action.
And then Arcadeageddon. PS4 and PS5.
Okay.
Amazon Prime Games. I didn't even know this was a thing, you know. Prime Games.
It's quite a thing. In this month in particular, it's going to be quite a month.
Yeah. So we've got Maniac Mansion. We've got Suzerain, Fishing North Atlantic. And then Fell Seal, Arbiter's Mark is coming. And then Prime Day. Pride's gone. We're on Prime now. Prime Day takes place in July, and Amazon is giving away a boatload. I feel like this is a quote copy-pasted from somewhere. A boatload more games to Prime members. Until July 13th, which is only a week away, you'll be able to claim more than 25 indie darlings, including Death Squared, Fatal Fury Special, Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams, Gone Viral, Hue, Metal Slug 2, classic arcade game, Pumped BMX Pro, Samurai Showdown 2, The Dark Side Detective, and The King of Fighters 2002. I believe that people liked that one, King of Fighters. During the Prime Day event, which is between July 12th and 13th, there are a bunch of AAA games, not AAA, none of that AA shite, AAA games you can claim at no extra cost, right? These include Mass Effect Legend Edition, 10 out of 10 game. Grid Legends, that's also very good. Need for Spuds Heat. That's kind of like a Sharknado ripoff of Need for Speed. We've got Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. We've got Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast. Those Jedi Knight games are pretty good. And Star Wars Republic Commando. I'm guessing they're on Xbox.
No.
Well, Republic Commando was. I think all those did hit the original Xboxes back in the day.
Yeah, so they're all on PC, but I believe, I know Republic Commando is. I believe the others are on back compat. So if you've got them on Xbox, you can play them on back compat. Stadia Pro, for anyone who's still
a thing.
Still playing their Stadia. We've got Human Centipede Recharged. This is called New Games in July. We've got Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. Another one of those. Those Who Remain is also on Stadia. Worms, Weapons of Mass Destruction, or WMD for short. That's on there. Rogue Book. And then Fast and Furious, Spy Racers, Rise of Shifter.
I'm just looking at that, and I think it's Centipede Recharged. I see the font is slightly different, and someone stuck a human in front of it. Yeah. I can't imagine that there's a game called Human Centipede. But anyway,
I was thinking that would be a pretty terrible video game to play. Yeah. I would not want to play that at all.
It could be. It could be fantastic. Come on.
Could be. On your Stadia, you could play it in your browser anytime you want. Yeah. Epic Game Store new games in July. These are free games, I think, because they're doing giveaways, aren't they?
Right.
I picked up a game the other day, anyway, a pretty good one. Can't remember what it was.
Epic is still, they still every once in a while come out with some fantastic games. I'm not so sure about this month, just saying.
So we've got GeneForge 1 Mutagen. That's the first July week. We've got Hood Outlaws and Legends. I think that is a game people play. I think people play that.
Yeah, isn't that the one that is like a multiplayer co-op Robin Hood kind of game, if I'm not mistaken?
Possibly. It sounds very much like that title, what you've just described. That's what I would guess. Irritus, Lord of the Dead. That's for the first week, this week. And then Ancient Enemy is July 7th to July 14th. Killing Floor 2, that is a popular game. People play that. I have heard of that video game. That's July 7th to July 14th.
Cool.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Rich. It was quite a lot of games.
A lot of games.
And yeah. So, I mean, here's the the news out of this, if you will, is that there's some games to be grabbed. In particular, Amazon Prime, I definitely think it's worth checking out. If you have an Amazon Prime account, go check out those games. There's definitely a few you can probably get, obviously, for free. Who doesn't like free, even though you had to pay free. Arm and a leg for your Amazon Prime membership?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You get headphones.
All right. You did. You got your headphones cheap. You need to give them more money, Robin. That's yep. the deal.
Yep.
All right. Rich, what games are you actually playing right now? What's the recent games? Let's not go through it's been years, so I don't want you to go through the entire decade. What's been going on the past week or so for you gaming-wise? Is it retro still, or are you playing something new?
I have not yet tried Halo Infinite, which I said I would do after uni, and uni's done now. Is the campaign worth playing? From a fellow Halo fan,
I thoroughly enjoy the campaign. It's only solo right now. They are beta testing, I believe, co-op, that will be coming out soon. But I very much enjoyed the campaign. I think the grapple shot in particular is something that really changes the dynamic of Halo. Mm. And so for Halo Infinite, I felt like the campaign really benefited from that. Yeah, it's very different from your traditional Halo games you played before.
Yeah, so I do mean to play that. But in terms of like stuff I've actually played, we picked up the Switch OLED this week. So that's the one we got. And we got Mario Kart and bought some indie games off there. That OLED screen is really nice. They've got a sale. I don't know if it's still on, but they had a sale on the Switch store. They had Inside and Limbo for like £1 each. And I've played them, got them everywhere, but I bought them. I thought Limbo on this OLED. I'll have to try it. It looks really nice. Yeah, really nice.
I love your retro setup there, now, Rich. That you've got lots and lots of stuff all hooked up.
Yeah. So right now I've got an Xbox 360 Slim. That is for Xbox 360 exclusives that aren't back compat. So like wrestling games and a few. Then I've got an Xbox One S. That's for Xbox 360 games that are backwards compatible but aren't high res.
Yeah.
The high res ones like Crackdown and stuff, I'll play them on my Series X, which is downstairs. Then I've got a PS1, Mega Drive, a SNES, an N64, a Wii, a GameCube, a PS3, PS2, and an original Xbox. Excellent. Over there in the corner. I've also got two CRTs. One's out of frame at the moment.
Right.
That 32-inch behind me.
Getting it all set up is addictive.
Yeah. It's a good-looking setup, Rich. Where's the Wii U?
That is one of the Nintendo consoles we don't own.
You don't need to.
No, we skipped the Wii U. I felt like you were right. We skipped it. So Wii U we skipped. We just went straight to Switch. I tell you what, though, I'm looking forward to getting Pokemon on it to play on the handheld.
I've never been a Pokemon person, but yeah. I mean, let's be honest, I'm not really a Nintendo person, so that's fair.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting Let's Go Eevee or Pikachu, probably Pikachu. I'll be picking that one up, I think, and giving that a go. What I have been playing as retro-wise, though, is I've been going through... I've put like a wrestling game collection together.
I did kind of notice a theme in the background in terms of the images. It's been kind of funny because I've been paying attention to the wrestling matches running as you've been talking.
So on the CRT there, I've got SmackDown 2 for the PS1, and I've got WWE 2K14 on 360 there next to it. But what I've been doing is for N64 as well. So like I've got, I've picked up WCW NWO Revenge. I'll show that on camera. Pick that up. And I've got No Mercy. That's in the console at the moment. You see it there. And I already own WrestleMania 2000. So I've got like... I'm pretty much covered because I've got all the wrestling games that came out on 360 and PS2 as well.
I want to ask a question. Are you actually a wrestling fan? Do you like wrestling or is it just the games themselves?
I like wrestling up until a certain era, and then I don't really watch the new stuff.
Okay.
I did watch some WrestleMania, some of the matches. The women's wrestling's a lot better than it used to be. It used to be less about the wrestling, I'll say that. But now it's much more about the wrestling, and it's cool. There's pretty cool characters. But yeah, I'm sort of old school wrestling, like up until like 2004. After that, I sort of fell away a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks. That was my era. And yeah. Cat Weasel, but that's the 70s. Anyway, wow.
Wow,
indeed. Hey, real quick, shout out to Lord and Martin in the shafts. Just want to give them a little bit of love. They've been in there commenting on Robin liking knobs. All right, Robin.
Okay, I've just got one game to talk about, and I really have. Sorry, Greg. I've went down this rabbit hole completely with a set of Corsa Competizione La Lasagna, and it has got me. So now with this new rig and the new wheel, the big screen that I sit in front of, I have been rapidly trying to improve my skill levels. Just watching, there's so much support and love for this online, and some really, really good YouTube guys that are out there doing track guides, and some very funny guys doing live streaming, and just watching the skill levels of these guys. The game is visceral. You feel it, and the sounds and everything. It's just so I'm just loving it. I've got all my track competencies up to level now, so I have to work to try and get a super license to play on really good multiplayer servers when I'm playing multiplayer with randoms. And that, yeah, they don't, yeah, first corner is usually destruction derby time. But
isn't that always the case though in almost every online racer?
Yeah, well, no, as they get more serious, it becomes an awful lot better than that. But you have to be careful enough because when you drive badly or go off the circuit a lot or overdrive or become in an accident, whether they're your fault or not, it affects your rating. And you're rated on about 8 or 10 different categories. So even if you're involved in lots of accidents, it can affect your licensing, so your licenses go down. So, yeah, there's so much depth to this game. It's not just driving; it's driving well and safely and within your skill levels. And driving somewhere like Mount Panorama in Australia, there's two big straights in it. But when you go up that mountain section, that first right-hand corner, there's a series of about 15 bends and coming down the hill again. It's just get it right. It's just such a good feeling. So I've now, in this couple of the multiplayer games that I've played, I've won a few races, but it's not about that. It's about racing well and enjoying some of the battles that I've had with people. And some of the community are nice because they'll go, oh, that was a great race, or that was good, and yeah, that was nice. So yeah, I really went down that sim racing rabbit hole now. So sorry, but I'm getting a lot of fun out of it.
You're looking forward to Forza?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. It's pretty and lovely.
Are you concerned that it's not going to have the level of intricacy of competizione lasagna?
Because the next phase for me is PC. If it goes that far, it'll be moving away from the Xbox to the PC version, which is where it's at, really. Right. So, but I'm not going to go. That's a very expensive route to go down. So, realistically, my rig's fine. My wheel is really good now. I mean, really, really good. But to go down to buy a chunky PC now, I think you're going to be paying probably 1,500 quid to have something that's going to last 4 or 5 years. So,
or 2 years.
You know, yeah. So I'm happy at the moment. But if it gets to that level, great. But maybe in a couple of months' time, the bug will be away again, and
okay.
But I'm loving it.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, the setup is pretty amazing that you have put together, and knowing kind of the deals you got on the backside of that, it makes it just that much more impressive. I'm very jealous, I've never been into racing that much. So
yeah, well, it wouldn't be possible if I didn't have this space as well. Here.
True.
I mean, to put a thing that's 6 feet long and 3 feet wide in a house, in a room, you know,
yeah.
How could any partner like that? I mean, you're lucky, Richard. You've got your nice little space there as well. It's great. And I have this place out here, and yeah, it's thanks to that, we have our little man caves. Yeah. You might get away with it there. You never know.
I mean, I probably could do it in here. The problem is I don't like gaming in this room. Mm. And it's mostly because this is also my office. So I work out of this room.
That is a downside.
Every day of the week.
That's a downside.
Yeah.
So, and the Xbox is a separation from that as well.
Yep.
So if I was gaming here, yes, I know I have four screens around me now, and that seems perfect because you were wrapped around. but sitting in front of a 65-inch HD in a rig, you know, it's pretty immersive. So
yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. All right. I guess that leaves me. So, Rich, speaking of Halo Infinite, I have been playing a shit ton of Halo Infinite multiplayer. Luis Raimondo, playing skills from the community. He has inspired me. He got to level 100 on his season 2 season pass, and so I have been putting in the time. So I am almost at level 80 now on season 2. And once I finish season 2, I'm going to go back to season 1, where I think I stopped at like level 51 or 52, something like that. So, just very much enjoying it. Still I still love the multiplayer in that game. It is fast and frenetic. And I think Land Grab, which is one of the newer game modes they introduced, but it's, I think, one of my favorite game modes, mostly because it goes by quick. And for those not familiar with Land Grab, how it works, you start the match and there will be 3 zones to capture. And traditional capture and hold kind of games is, you know, you capture, you have to hold all 3 zones for a certain amount of time and you get a point. But in Land Grab, it's you capture and hold a point, and once it reaches kind of the timer, it's a point for your team, and it goes off the map. And then so there's 3 points that are made visible at one point or one time. Once all 3 are captured, then 3 new points come up on the map and you have to capture those 3 points. And all of this is scoring. So for every capture point you capture and hold for the allotted time, it's like 30 seconds, you get 1 point. It's the first team to 11 points. So it goes pretty quick. So you never feel like you're in a slugfest, and or if you're just overmatched, there are times when your team, you know, you're playing with a bunch of randoms. There's not much teamwork happening. You're not stuck in a long match. Cause one of the things like capture the flag, there's a lot of back and forth, even when you don't necessarily have a very skilled team working with you. It seems like those matches can kind of drag on because the person with the flag gets killed, and then the flag gets returned, and then the person with the flag gets killed again, and the flag gets returned. So that just does not happen in this. So I like it. There's definitely some strategy that's different. I think the best way to strategize around this is pairing. So 2 people go after an immediate point, but the other 2 people peel off for kind of the middle point. Because the key is you want to win 2 of 3 every time. As long as you're winning the majority of the capture points, you're going to win the match. Enjoying that a ton. Dabbled a little bit more in Elden Ring, but not too much. To be perfectly honest, Dragon Age Arisen, I bought it on sale for $5, I don't know, a week and a half ago. I went back into it after I went kind of through the opening tutorial on it. And I got to say, I'm enjoying this game. I love the pawn system.
Elden Ring.
No, Dragon Age Arisen, Dark Arisen. So this is an old, it was a 360 game. They did a remaster, I think, for the Xbox One era. And so it was on sale for like $5. And it was after they made the Dragon Age 2 announcement that got me the bug in me to try the game again. Really enjoying it.
Is it Dragon's Dogma or Dragon Age?
Sorry. Did I say I said Dragon Age. Dragon's Dogma. Yes. That's me being
in YouTube.
Yes. That's me. That's me being slightly really tired and trying to get things done too fast today. But yeah, so Dragon's Dogma. Game, Dark Arisen.
The game Jeff Gerstmann's been playing. He was playing that the other day.
Yep. Yeah. And I think, you know, all this, of course, was spun from the developers announcing they're making a sequel. And so a lot of us, myself, mostly was just like, you know what, I remember fondly this game, but I never really played a lot of it. It was kind of one of those things where it hit, I think, at a weird time where there was another game that captured my attention. It might have been a Mass Effect game. And so I bounced away from the Dogma. I guess the best way to put it is it's still a very old game. It's not going to, you know, win any awards for graphics, that kind of thing in today's time. But there's something about the mechanics of this game. And I think it's because it's rooted in D&D. So Dragon's Dogma is focused around D&D versus I think a lot of other Japanese RPG games are more anime focused. This really is kind of rooted in Dungeons and Dragons, and so it has that kind of that vibe. If you're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, you're going to really understand a lot of what Dragon's Dogma offers up. Okay. And I think the other thing that I really like is just the mechanics of when you're fighting some of these giant beasts, you climb onto them. You're attacking them while you're climbing on them, as opposed to just swinging at their feet. The mechanics of the game are really solid. That all said, I will continue to play Dragon's Dogma for a little bit longer. Elden Ring also will get back into my repertoire. I'm going to still try and power through that game. But I will say I was a little dismayed over the last time I played Elden Ring when I started, you know, I basically wound my way into a spot where I was just going to get my ass handed to me repeatedly. And of course, I was trying to go back and get my loot. And every time I'd go back and get my loot, I would die. And so it was just this kind of repeat and rinse cycle happening to me. And so I just finally had to come to the conclusion, I will leave behind my runes and just go to, you know, fast travel to a new spot on the map and get myself, you know, away from that area. Another game that has some good mechanics to it. I do love that you can fast travel at anywhere on the map to one of the previous campsites you've been. And that I think was a kind of a game changer from the previous Dark Souls games where you couldn't do that. Here, it kind of, you know, will get you out of trouble, but there could be a cost to it. And obviously the other part of the cost is that everything resets. There's kind of that rogue element to it in that, you know, you play through and as long as you don't save, all the enemies that you have killed will stay dead. But if you rest, get to a campfire, that kind of thing, then everything kind of resets on you. And so if you have to backtrack, you'll have to battle back through what you already killed once. But yeah.
I don't see any pleasure in this for me.
I think in small doses, I like it. But the problem is you can't really play this game effectively in small doses. Mm. You have to commit hours. Kind of like Skyrim, for Rich, to kind of put this in perspective, I think, you know, Skyrim, one of the things that was great about Skyrim is you literally can save pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
And if you could do that in Elden Ring and feel like, you know, you could come back to it easy enough, I think that would be more appeal for me for the game. But you can't. You have to, you know, you have to go to the bonfire area. And again, you can fast travel to it, so it's not that punishing in that respect. But again, it resets everything. And so quest lines can be a little more challenging in that respect. But anyway, all right. We only have literally just one news story, so I'm going to play the jingle. We'll talk about that, and we'll kind of ramp down the show here. Hang on half a second.
Here is the fucking news.
And Robin, this actually should be music to your ears.
Yeah.
Valve ramping up production to more than double Steam Deck shipments. Looks like they have been able to boost their production. They'll be shipping more than twice the number of units each week than it had over the last few months. So that means those of you on the wait list, hopefully, cross your fingers, are going to get that email, and you can get your new Steam Deck. Are you still excited for the Steam Deck, Robin?
I wouldn't say I'm excited, but when it comes, it'll be good, I think. You know, traveling. Okay. I mean, I'm away a couple of nights this week, so, you know, that'll be the thing. And we'll give it a go. So, I can't wait. I like new tech, new hardware, and hardware that works and doesn't work. And it'll all end up on a shelf. It'll end up on a shelf sometime.
This is true.
Yeah. Rich? My only worry with it is, this is an old man problem, is my eyes. Being able to see it clearly enough and be comfortable with it. And
I mean, that was a legitimate concern for me, I'll be honest. I literally bought a set of cheater glasses and I just put them in the case with it. So whenever I travel with it, I have those there. Because there are games that are just not optimized for that screen. And so, you know, the text is super small, so it's going to be a challenge.
Question is, it's Steam games you're playing, Greg? Yeah?
A combination of. So I do have xCloud loaded up on the Steam Deck. And so I'm able to play xCloud games through the Steam Deck, and that's basically using browser internet connection.
Yeah.
But then I also have some Steam games that I've downloaded and loaded onto the deck. They do a pretty good job of letting you know games that are optimized for the Steam Deck. And so that's why I ended up putting the 2K Golf on my Steam Deck, because I knew it was very well optimized for it. And ultimately, that's a game that, from a visual standpoint, plays very easy. So, you know, I'm not having to worry about super small text, that kind of thing.
So say the likes of what we were talking about earlier on there, which was the Amazon sale, like Mass Effect and Grid Legends and Need for Spuds. Can you import those into your Steam Deck?
I don't know about Amazon. So the challenge is, they have to be downloadable and playable through Steam.
Right.
There is a way to do like Epic Games Launcher. You can get that functioning on the Steam Deck. And so you can, in theory, mostly play Steam. Those games, but it's mostly just Steam games.
Okay, that's all
right. And then anything like xCloud, the Xbox games are done through a browser based app. And so it's just streaming. So as long as you have a good internet connection, then you should be able to play those games. But when I say good internet connection, it's download speed and upload speed. And I think that's
hotel room isn't going to be it.
Yeah, hotel room probably not going to be it. That's a big piece of the kind of the discussion that doesn't seem to be happening enough, by the way, about cloud gaming. We're always talking about download speeds. And that seems to be the most important conversation when it comes to internet. But to be perfectly honest, I think upload speed is as important for online gaming as download speeds are.
It's funny. If I had my Stadia, which is over here, and I fired it up again, it would be absolutely fine with me now because of the big, massive pipe that I have here. It wouldn't be an issue whatsoever. So maybe it's just a bit that all that sort of stuff was a bit too early. And I still don't think there's enough people out there with really good connections. Yeah, people that are that are interested or enthusiasts like ourselves will be the people that will have that. But Joe Blogs, where these things are aimed at, like Stadia Pro, but maybe not so much this. But even this device is a pretty much an enthusiast device as well at the moment.
So Rich, from your perspective, a Steam Deck, is that something that excites you, or is it, you've got your Nintendo system, so you're kind of set for a portable type system and you're okay?
Yeah, I think I'm all right. I mean, a few years ago, this probably would have been right up my my alley. But like I've just invested in a G-Sync monitor.
Okay.
I think I'm pretty okay. If I want to play a PC game, I can use my monitor or my TV. And for portable, I think the Switch and stuff's enough for us.
Okay. I'm going to be curious to see if the Steam Deck can make a dent in the portable gaming space. They seem like they're doing well early on, but how long does that continue? Because Nintendo is the big gorilla. I don't see them knocking Nintendo out of that the ring, but maybe, you know, they can carve out themselves a nice footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Cool.
All right.
Can't wait.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Robin.
I'm sorry. I'll keep an eye on the email. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's this? New releases?
Let's talk new releases, Robin.
My God, Match Point for PlayStation 5. In fact, for everything is out on July the 7th. I think that's a tennis game. Match Point. We haven't had a good tennis game in a long time. Arcadeageddon, whatever the hell that is. It sounds like it's a batch of arcade games all clumped together. I had a guess on that. Clonoa Fantasy Reverie. Again, available on everything. It sounds like one big RPG type monster. And Madison on the PlayStation 5 and everything on the 8th of July. So games are still coming out. Wow, I suppose Match Point with Wimbledon on over here, I'll probably get a wee turn. That's your new releases for the week coming.
Yeah. I have a question. So is Wimbledon, is that still a big draw in the UK?
Mega.
Yeah?
Mega. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is a mega weekend for sports in the UK because you've got Wimbledon on and we had Silverstone Formula One today, which was epic race. Massive accident on the first lap, but a great race as well. So epic. So yeah, big. But yeah, Wimbledon, yeah, they queue 36 hours ahead outside to try and get seats for, you know, that sort of camp outside, and it's still mega.
All right. Okay. It's still fairly popular here in the U.S. as well, but I do feel like it has waned in at least like the social media space. Like, I don't hear a lot of people going on about it. Obviously within our circles, I know it's more gaming centric, but I mean, typically speaking, when big sporting events happen, they kind of will dominate on Twitter, that kind of thing. And I just haven't seen that as much with Wimbledon. So I was just kind of curious.
No, there's still British interest. The British number one, who I can't name, has got through to the next round. So, and there's the big final. Is the finals? When's the final? Next weekend? Next week? It'll think be next Saturday and Sunday, I think, is when it all finishes up. So,
all right. There you go. Okay.
And Wimbledon's a fantastic facility. I toured it once a few years ago, and it is a fantastic place to walk around. It feels quite hallowed ground.
Looks like it'd be a fun place to go grab a brew.
Mm.
All right. Rich, if you were hanging out, I would tell you on a Wednesday night, there's no better place to be than in Halo multiplayer, Rich. We play 9 p.m. in the UK, so it's not too late. It's well within your bedtime range. 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. We usually play for about an hour, so... And you can cross-play PC and Xbox. So just saying, keep that out. Yeah, think about that. Mark Wright is still trying to bring back PUBG. He wants everybody to contact him on Friday nights so he can drive a car into a bus stop.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, I've just stated facts that are not actually facts. I was the one that drove the car into the bus stop. That's the reality. Don't ever let me drive a vehicle. I'm just saying. Mm-mm. No. All right. We're going to do some quick shout outs. We're going to wrap up the show. Rich, I will let you start first. Anybody you want to shout out? Lovely wife.
I'll shout out my wife because she said yes to this. I'll shout out the retro community. There's a lot of stuff going on in the retro scene at the moment. A lot of interesting mods. Got an X Station mod here.
Nice.
For the PS1. What that basically does is you swap out your disk drive in your PlayStation for this little device.
Okay.
And you play games off the SD card on the real PlayStation. So that's fun. I'm gonna be sorting that. And shout out you guys for letting me join this evening.
I think you would have a fun hour or two in my little cave here, Richard.
Oh, so definitely, mate.
There's a lot of stuff here.
I think Robin's going to invite you, and he's going to ask you to bring your soldering iron. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Show me RGB one of your old consoles.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. Yeah, that Commodore 64 with the disk drive still going well.
Yeah. I like your home computer stuff.
Love it. not at all. Great. Cool. For me, I'll say to the guys that aren't here, Mark, get your ass back. Richard, it's absolutely gorgeous to have you on the show again. It really is lovely. And the facial hair stuff.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
It's real, yeah. And if you see me out and about there as well, yes, absolutely. Shout out to the OC Wives. They do have a lot to put up with. We disappear on Sunday nights and disappear. And we're like, it comes a certain time. Yep, got to go. And Judith knows that I'm itching to get out here. So, thanks again to Love Island. I fucking love Love Island because when it comes on at 9 o'clock, I can come out and game for an hour or two. And it's absolutely fantastic because I refuse to watch it, and Judith loves it. So so there you go. Have a good gaming week, everybody, and stay safe. And you guys enjoy tomorrow. Enjoy the 4th of July.
Yeah,
I'm jealous of my niece being there to experience it. It's part of Americana that I have not experienced, and I would absolutely love to do it. So someday we will.
Someday. Someday indeed. Thank you to the two of you for joining the show. Rich, it's been an absolute pleasure having you back on the show. When you jumped in saying I'm available, I was like, yes, yep. Absolutely.
Plus, you've been a dick tease a few times, and it's absolutely lovely to have you here.
As Robin noted, shout out to the wives because they do allow us, and I say that in the nicest meaning, to have our little time talking video games, talking just utter smack on the podcast. Shout out, of course, to the community. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for those that were in the chat, as well as those that are just out playing with us, having good times, playing games, that kind of thing. We love you guys all. And shout out to the United States.
Hoo-yah.
Happy birthday. And thanks again to the UK for taking a step out and saying, hey, you know, we're good. We like our tea, so we'll just go back to where, you know, mom and dad are.
Yeah, we just let you have it. It would be nice, you know. Let's be friends.
It's quite neighborly. It was, yeah. You know, that's what neighbors do. So
let's go, Brandon.
There you go. All right, that's it. We're done. We'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.